Well, one, I want to say welcome to Hope at Home. I hope everyone inside this room is excited. Are you guys excited? Yeah. Yeah. I can't see anything, to be honest. It's pretty bright. But I hope everyone at home is excited because we're going to talk about Jesus tonight. And what better person to talk about, really? He is, like, amazing. And he is always amazing to us. And he loves us so much. And tonight, I want to encounter him through preaching. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 But that joke was good. It reminds me of, it doesn't remind me of one, but, you know. Here, I have one for you, Carlos. Carlos, when God made bees, he said, they will have the greatest knees of all time. The greatest knees of all time. You'll get it later. It's okay. Jesus, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you that you are an amazing God, that we don't have to serve, but we get to serve. And that we believe tonight, God, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so we thank you, Lord, that tonight, Lord, we seek you in through worship, through the preaching of the word, through the offering, God, through communion, through prayer, Lord, we, and everything that we do, because all things consist from you and through you, Lord, we want to encounter Jesus in everything that we do, and there's literally no reason why we can't do that. So we dedicate the service, the word to you, Lord, that you will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes tonight, I'm talking about Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. I am excited. The bee's knees. If you guys didn't get it, the bee's knees. I got Joaquin with that one a couple years ago at the camp thing. Anyways, so check this out. So the reason I'm talking about Jesus is our hope is because I think some of us, even now, sorry, I'm going to stay right here. I think some of us, even now, have started to get antsy or anxious because, you know, we just want life to go back to normal. And it's like, it's funny because, just because we're in COVID doesn't mean we don't talk to anybody. So in talking to friends and family, you know, it's like the novelty has, like, worn off, right? It's like, oh, you know, it's like the 1920s and, like, we're all quarantined. And, you know, like, I was seeing a bunch of things on Instagram about how, you know, I saw a bunch of posts on Instagram talking about how, like, hey, how cool is it that we're going through an event that's going to be talked about in history books, but now everyone's, like, so over it, right? We're so tired. It's like, all right, like, we were over it, like, 3 weeks ago. Like, can we get back to normal life? And so I think I was talking to Candace about this. You know, we were talking about, you know, how, like, it kind of, like, now that you're home all the time or now that you're stuck doing, not saying you're stuck, but, like, if you're working at home or you're furloughed and, you know, you're home all the time, it kind of gives an opportunity for the enemy to do some stuff, right? But every time the enemy wants to do, bring discouragement or bring fear or bring doubt, it's always an opportunity for the Lord to show how awesome he is. So Jesus is our hope. So check this out. I'm going to read this study. During a study at Harvard in the 1950s, Dr. Kurt Richter placed rats in a pool of water. And so here's what he did, or here's what they did at Harvard University, 1950s. They got these rats and they put them in, like, these little pools of water. And they wanted to see how long they could tread water for before they gave up. Am I good to move around now? Great. They wanted to see how long they would tread water until they gave up. So they put these rats in there, and one at a time or however they did it. And here's what they would do. They would place them in there, and when they got to the point of exhaustion, they would save them. they would, like, you know, pull them out right before they gave up. When they first started doing this, the rats would last for 15 minutes before they gave up and they just, like, started to drown. But they saved them. They saved them. They didn't let them die. They pulled them out. So what they did was, you know, they put them in, see how long they would tread water for. 15 minutes was the average. As soon as they got tired, they would pull them out, give them a few minutes to rest, and then they would put the rats back in the water, and now they're going to see how long they're going to tread, right? This rat was it was about to drown from exhaustion. They pulled them out, and then they put them back in to see how long is this rat going to last, you know? Is it going to last another 15 minutes? Maybe less? Is it going to last 10 minutes? Is it going to last 5 minutes? Like, what, you know, what's going to happen? Guys, they put these rats back in. I have the study. If you guys want it, let me know, because I'm not lying to you. Trust your pastors. Amen? So they put these rats back in the water to see how long they would last. They didn't last 15 minutes. They didn't last 10 minutes. They didn't last 5 minutes. They lasted an average of 60 hours. Someone say, whoa. 60, they went from 15 minutes to 60 hours. Here's what they concluded. By the way, this study was called the Hope Experiment. So here's what they concluded. The conclusion drawn was that since the rats believed that they would eventually be rescued, they could push their bodies way past what they previously thought was impossible. Isn't that crazy? I was going to say nuts, but thank you for saying it. That's insane to go from 15 minutes and then giving up to now 60 hours because they knew they would get saved. Man, we serve a God who saves us every single time, guys. And here's my question. How many times have we not fallen short, because I'm not saying, like, you know, because you sinned, but how many times have we fallen short because we just gave up hope? Or how many times do we fall short because we thought that God wouldn't come through? Or maybe it's because there was misplaced hope. See, there's a difference. From my experience, there's a complete difference from putting my hope in God and putting my hope in my job, or putting my hope in, you know, the people around me, or for some of us, you know, putting our hope in a business. Here's the thing: when you tie your hope to something worldly, it doesn't bring peace and joy. It brings anxiety. It brings worry. It brings doubt, because now it's like your life is subject to that job or that person or that business or those grades or that degree. You now put yourself under, unfairly, really, under this anxiety and this stress over something that you can't control. Because you can't control whether you have a job tomorrow. Sometimes you can't even control the relationships that you have, right? Sometimes you can't control, you know, the revenue of the business. Sometimes you can't control the world, and then COVID comes in and turns your world upside down. If your world has been turned upside down because of COVID, then I believe that your hope has been misplaced. Because I serve the God of all hope. Here's what the Bible says. And we'll get to it in a little bit. The study with these rats, I find it amazing, because it's like, wow, like, what? I look at things in my life, like losing weight. If I'm like, man, if I just would have stuck to that workout routine and stuck to that intermittent fasting or stuck to that diet, if I would have stuck to that, you know, for longer than 3 months, where would I be now? Or if I would have stuck to that for a year or 2 years, then it's like, man, like, at what point did I give up? At what point did I stop enduring whatever was happening because of the, not the reward, but, like, you know, achieving, arriving. I know no one here, no one's ever, I'm probably the only one who struggles with weight, probably. I I had the honor and the privilege of doing the Sozo devotional on Monday. And I just want to share some thoughts because it's in the same vein. If you're taking notes, write this down. Don't give up. What could we achieve if we knew God was going to fulfill his promise every single time? What would we do if we knew that God would heal, which he does, every single time? On this topic of healing, and we'll pray for healing in a little bit because, you know, God loves to heal. He loves to do his wonders and miracles. In the New Testament, Paul, he's like, hey, like, I didn't come with you with persuasive words and all these, like, you know, intellectual ideas and thoughts. No, I came with you, like, Paul's like, I've determined to know nothing except Jesus and him resurrected. Jesus and him crucified. And the reason that even though there were might have been simple truths, the way, and this is actually proven in Acts, the Bible talks about how like the disciples would prove the word of God through signs and wonders. The signs and wonders weren't like, you know, some people might chase signs and wonders, but signs and wonders should always point back to Jesus. They're always meant, every encounter with God is meant for you to go deeper in relationship with him. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later, because you can't have hope in God and not have a relationship with him. We'll look at that. But if you're taking notes, don't give up. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6. We're actually going to read verses 7 through 10. Media guy. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if. Everyone say if.
Yeah.
If we do not lose heart. God is not a liar. There's no shadow of turning in him. And so if he promised you a good job, then wait for that good job and don't be, you know, accepting other job offers that God said, no, that's not it. Probably not during COVID, but you know what I'm saying. Or if God promised you an amazing woman of God or an amazing man of God, are you going to allow what you see deter you from what God promised? Because someone might look right, they might play the part, in church. But just because their butt is in the church doesn't mean that their heart is with him. I don't know where that came from, that came out of nowhere. I was surprised at that one. Why would you settle for anything but God's best? Right? And there's an endurance that comes with it. You know, we're all familiar with, you know, running the race set before us, right? See, you don't run a race by not running. You don't run a race by not moving. A race is run one step at a time. And why would you take a step in a direction that's not towards him? Why would you take a step in a direction that causes you to be far from him? Can I get an amen? So here Paul is talking to the Galatians, and he's saying, you know, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Paul here is telling us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking through Paul saying, don't give up. There went the computer. You don't see me right now, but we're getting the video feed back up, so just listen. Earlier I was just, you know, praying and meditating on today's message, and I just felt like God was saying, you know, he's telling us not to give up. Actually, we'll just go there. I love this verse. Oh, man, I don't know if I gave you the full verse. I think you might only have verse 9 for Hebrews 6, 9. If it's not up there, do we have up until 12? Oh, we do? You're amazing, man. I didn't even write that down. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll read verses 9 through 12. I'm reading out of the NLT on this one, so just listen and look on the screen. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. The writer of Hebrews is talking to the Hebrew church, and he just got talked, if you guys remember the letter to the Hebrews, this is where he talks about, you know, like there's no, like if you sin willingly, haven't received Jesus, like there's no sacrifice left, and like all it's a very sobering message that teaches, you know, really about the fear of the Lord. Someone say amen. And all the fear of the Lord is knowing that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do, whether in the positive or the negative. Amen? Like we just saw, you know, don't go there, but in Galatians, you know, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He starts off saying God's not mocked, as in God's not going to let you slide. What do you mean God's not going to? If you're willingly sowing to the flesh, God's like, you're going to reap corruption because that's what you're sowing into. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. Someone say amen. And on Monday when we did the soul's devotion, I was talking about how, you know, when right there when Paul says you'll reap everlasting life, that's the same word, it's Zoe, that is used for Jesus when he says, I'm the light of the world and you have life in me. And so really the life that you reap from the Spirit is Jesus himself. Amen. So back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Ah, that is a word for us. Here's the thing. COVID did not take God for surprise. God's not like, oh my gosh. Because Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Everyone say, in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everyone say, I was created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here's the thing. You were created, God thought about you, and God even loved you before the earth, before the foundations of the earth. That's crazy to think about, that God had me on his mind before anything was made. Before the foundations of the earth, God knew COVID was happening. See, when I look at the scriptures, I really don't think God's saying, oh, I'm going to let you pass on this one because it's COVID season. You know? God's not saying, oh, I'm going to give you a $1,200 grace right now because it's COVID season. If anything, I believe God was preparing us for such a time as this. Or maybe we were born for such a time as this. COVID's not taking God by surprise, but now God can be glorified during this time. And this is what we've been preparing for. Maybe before the foundations of the world, God prepared good works for us even in this season. As I was saying earlier I was, you know, meditating and, you know, just this idea of don't give up. If you have a husband who doesn't believe, a wife who doesn't believe, or kids who don't believe, don't give up. Keep praying, keep loving, keep being gentle, keep being Jesus to them. And that's very key. Keep being Jesus to them. Like a Jesus love. In other words, when Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7, at number 35, when the enemy has 35 reasons for you not to forgive a 36th time, you forgive a 36th time not because of them, but because of him. Those are all good works. Forgiveness, it's a good work. Giving, even though you got laid off, is a good work. cooking dinner for someone who's in need. It's a good work. And God's not, in the same way, God's not going to be mocked when you sow to the flesh. God's not going to be mocked when you sow to the Spirit. He's faithful. He's amazingly faithful. So back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things. That is a word for us today. I don't know what anxieties or what stress or what stresses you're carrying right now, but we are confident here at Hope Community. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Things that come with salvation. Amen. Verse 10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Wow. So when you love your husband when he's grumpy from work, or when you love your wife because she's grumpy from the kids, I don't know. When you choose to love, you're loving him. When you choose to forgive, you're loving him. When you choose to give, you're loving him. And we get so caught up with the person that we forget the person who lives in us, who has already overcome. Amen. Yeah. God is so good. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Verse 11, this is an amazing scripture. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Verse 12, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Then you will not. So what's the writer of Hebrews saying here? Because then is translated to as a result, right? If then. Our great desire is that you will keep loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Could it be possible that the reasons that we're suffering, not suffering, I don't want to say suffering, the reason that we might be experiencing some anxieties or some stress is because we stop loving? Am I good? I need help. Is there a reason why I just lost my train of thought? Am I good now? Hey, take it easy. Your hat's fine, man. Here's my point. There's a parable that Jesus tells. You guys know this parable. He tells a parable about, you know, the man who forgave his servant, and then that servant didn't forgive the other servant. And the king finds out, and so he throws the servant that didn't forgive, he throws him into prison or jail, or actually the Bible, Jesus actually says, he throws him to the tormentors. When you harbor unforgiveness, you lack Jesus. You really do. When you harbor bitterness, you lack Jesus. You lack love. You lack his Spirit. Because it's his Spirit that empowers you to forgive. It's his Spirit that empowers you to let go of that, you know, that bitterness. It's his Spirit that allows you to react in love and not in anger, to react in faith and not in fear, to react in love and not in hate, to react in a confidence, in a hope, instead of an anxiety and a stress. Amen? Verse 12, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Man, that hits hard. One of the main reasons why, you know, we can become spiritually dull and, oh, I don't, I, I feel like I don't hear God, or I feel like, you know, I just don't feel his presence. One, you shouldn't be waiting for COVID to be over to feel his presence. That's one of the things I just felt in the spirit on Monday, that, you know, if you're, listen, there's a difference between excited and anxious, or I'll put it this way. This is what I said on Monday to the Sozo devotional, is that if your attitude is, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go back to church because I just want to worship, or I can't wait to go back to church because I just want to hear the word like in person, or I just can't wait to go to church because, you know, I just want to talk to people and fellowship with people. If that's your attitude, then I think you might be doing Christianity wrong, because your relationship with God doesn't consist of a physical church. The church doesn't sustain you. Jesus does. You are the church. And the church and Christ is the head of the church. And so we need to look to the head of the church, Jesus. And so don't wait to come back to church to worship. Your life should be worship. Your life should be listening to preaching, or preach to yourself. Your life should be reading the word. Your life should be praying. That should be your life. Church is meant to be an extension of that life, not the epitome. You going into your secret place and loving Jesus. Listen, guys. My mind is, woo. Write this down. Hope from relationship. Romans chapter 5, we'll read verses 3 through 5, and this is also in the NLT. Paul, talking to the Roman church, says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Amen. Not 15 minutes, but 60 hours. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Isn't that encouraging? Man, it's like, man, my hope in Jesus will never, ever, 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 because there's no shadow of turning in him. My hope in Jesus will never, ever lead to disappointment. Here's what's so freeing about that. No matter what happens in the flesh, no matter what happens visually, no matter what circumstances come, he will never disappoint you. Yeah, but this happened. Yeah, but look to Jesus. What is he saying in the circumstances, in this circumstance? What is he doing in this circumstance? We get so caught up with situations, we forget that God lives in us and that we can ask him and he'll give us liberally, without reproach, wisdom. For we know, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Oh, that's so great. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's awesome. He connects hope not leading to disappointment with the Holy Spirit filling our hearts with love. Someone say relationship. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, this is the difference between placing your hope in a job, or placing your hope in, like, you know, a paycheck, or placing your hope in, oh my gosh, I hope this happens, I hope this happens. That's anxious, because you just anxiously await. You're just waiting for something to happen instead of trusting in the God of hope who gives you joy and peace. See, if your hope causes anxiety or stress, then you're hoping in the wrong place. But if your hope produces joy and peace, that is so Jesus. That is so Jesus. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Wow, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the amazing thing about abounding in hope, is that no matter what happens in your life, it doesn't waver your hope. It doesn't change where you place your hope. You could lose your job and it's like, man, I didn't need a job anyway. God's got me. That's how hope speaks, right? Or it's like, man, these people are saying mean things about me, but I don't care. Because God says great things about me. I really love Jesus. I really love Jesus, and when I first became an intern, he just clearly showed me that he was my provider. Clearly showed me, and this is my life. This isn't a commercial for tithes and offerings. This is my life. I've never once, as God is my witness, I never, ever, ever withheld a tithe since I became an intern. I never once withheld a tithe because my hope isn't in my paycheck. It's in him. But that hope, here's literally what happened, actually. Where is it? Literally, this is what happens. This is what happened. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. I was an intern, volunteering full-time with a car and a car payment, and I had to pay for gas. God provided every single month. It was amazing. There was a guy. I'm just going to hit. He won't want me to say his name, but there's a guy in the sound room. And like at least once a month, he would just drop like $80 to $100 in my wallet without me knowing. And I get home and I'd be like, for an intern, I'm like, I'm rich. I can buy gas now and coffee. But here's my point. God showed himself faithful. It wasn't easy. And many times it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing, but God was faithful. He came through every single time in the midst of my embarrassment, in the midst of, you know, me feeling like, oh my gosh, well, why am I doing this or what am I doing? God was faithful every single time. So he built that trust, that endurance, right? Help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. I will never doubt God again concerning my finances because he showed himself faithful beyond belief. And that is the Jesus that I serve. See, my hope not being tied to my finances frees me from that anxiety and that stress because my entire heart, soul, mind, and strength rests on him. If you have an inkling of withholding the offering or the tithe, place your hope in Jesus. Listen, I feel this strong in my spirit because I feel like people will be like, oh, you guys talk about giving or stop. It's about obeying Jesus. And he shed his blood for you so that you could be free to obey him. And we see in the scriptures that every time we place our hope in God, joy and peace. If you're not having joy, if you're not experiencing peace, then place your hope in him and experience those things. Let go of the weights and the sins that so easily ensnare you and run your race. Amen. This is good. I think this is good. This is great. I mean, how can we, after, I'll just speak from my experience, that after everything that Christ not only went through on the cross, because him going on the cross and resurrecting from the dead, that alone is, he's worthy of all the worship, all the honor, and all the praise. He is worthy of me being a living sacrifice simply because he already gave his life for me. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Then he dies on the cross. He raises from the dead. Now we have salvation. But now he gives us his Holy Spirit, which is God, the Spirit of God, now lives in us. Where the Father who speaks amazing things over us now lives in us. And so even though people might say things about us or situations may happen, now we have the rock of salvation that lives inside of me. And I don't have to worry, and I don't have to fear, because the God of the universe, he's on my side. I just have to align myself. He's promised to take care of me. But according to Jesus too, he said, you know, his prayer is that, you know, we would be one. And Jesus said, you know, as soon as we become one with Jesus, he said, then God the Father will come and he will love you like he loved me. If you're saying to yourself, well, how do I place my hope in Jesus? How do I place my hope in God? Spend time with him. He is the God of hope. So diving deeper or investing more, especially during this time, sowing to the Spirit is so crucial during this time. I mean, what else are you doing? To be honest. Sowing to the Spirit is so crucial during this time. And if you're like, how do I get hope? Jesus is hope, right? He is the God of hope. Spend time with God. Spend time in the Bible. Worship. Listen to preaching. And hope is a natural. Sorry, not natural. Hope is a supernatural byproduct of spending time with him. Joy and peace. A supernatural byproduct of knowing him. Him taking care of you. A supernatural byproduct of him, of you knowing him. This is good. We'll probably do one more scripture, maybe two, and then we'll pray for healing. You guys know what to do, right? Candace, I have my phone, so if you can just stay on the computer and then text me praise reports. Yes? Great. In a few moments, I'm going to pray for healing. And listen, I don't do this because it has nothing to do with me, because I cannot heal you. I can't. Don't put that pressure on me, please. I can't handle that. I can't. But I know someone who can, and he lives in me. So I want to pray for supernatural healing over your life, or it might even be stress and anxiety. We're going to pray in a few moments, but I just want you to prepare your heart to say, man, God is going to heal me right now. It's going to be amazing. And as soon as you get healed, because we're believers, and hope does not disappoint, right? As soon as you get healed, type in the Facebook comments what you got healed of, and we're gonna glorify the Lord through his wondrous works and miracles. And we're believing that through those miracles, you love Jesus more. Not love our church more, although that's great, but love Jesus more. The miracles need to point to him. It's all him, through him, from him, in him. He is healing, and he paid for it. He bought it with a high price. High price. So we're on the point of hope from relationship, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says this, may the Lord lead your hearts. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression. These are powerful words here. Allowing the Lord to lead your heart means to trust the Lord with your heart. And that's something that I feel like, you know, God's really impressed on me when I first got saved. It's like, man, I can trust God with my heart. He's not going to hurt me. He's not going to let me down. He's not going to disappoint me. He's not going to bash me. He's not going to say anything bad about me. He's never going to condemn me. He's never going to be like, remember when you did this? Never, never. That is an amazing God that we serve, that he will never point to something in the past, but he'll always point to your future and say, this is who you are. That's really good. That is so good. That is so good. That's so good. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression. I don't want a half understanding. I don't want a quarter understanding. I don't even want 99% understanding. I want a full 100% understanding of the expression of the love of God and, I'm going to say and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. There might be someone in your life right now, you're like, oh man, this person is testing my patience and testing my endurance. And Jesus says, hey, if your endurance and your patience If the source of your patience and endurance is Jesus, it will never run out. If the source of your joy is Jesus, it will never run out, guys. If your source of self-control and your source of peace and joy and love, if your source is Jesus, it will never run out. Never. Allow us, Jesus, we want the full understanding and expression of your love and your patient endurance that's found in you, Jesus. Let that be our prayer tonight, Jesus, that we place our hope and our trust in you. That we choose to believe the scriptures and not our friends. We believe the scriptures and not circumstances, because we walk by faith and not by sight. That when you said, if we sow the Spirit, we will reap. If you told us not to grow weary, and if you told us to have our endurance and our patience in Christ, then let us do that. And let us not give up in loving. Let us not give up in forgiving. Let us not give up in patience and endurance. Let us not give up in giving. Let us not give up in the fellowship. Let us not give up in investing in a relationship with you, Jesus. Don't give up. God is with you. One more scripture. One more scripture. Listen to these words. Just listen to these words. This is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. That hurt me. Not because I'm meddling in people's lives, because I really don't have time for that. I really don't. But here's what I know, is that, you know, because of COVID, many of you guys aren't serving anymore. Naturally. And that's fine. You're not sinners because you're obeying the law. But if in your heart you've grown idle in loving Jesus, because here's the thing, just because you're not behind the camera anymore, or just because you're not in the coffee house, or just because you're not taking out the trash, or just because you aren't cleaning something, or just because you aren't ushering, or you're not, you know, helping in the parking lot, doesn't mean you're not meant for good works, right? It doesn't mean you can't, all the areas of serving, those are good works, but those good works don't stop because of COVID. We just have to ask Jesus, what good works do you have for me today? That's a great prayer. Pray that tomorrow morning. Jesus, what great works? What good works do you have for me today? You may be like, oh, you're going to pray for your boss. Or, oh, you're going to pray for your kids. Or, hey, you're going to send $20 to this person for coffee. I don't know. There's good works to be done today, church. And COVID's not going to stop that. We hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. So here Paul is talking specifically to people who just wouldn't work. But there's spiritual truth to that, right? Because we're all meant to work for Christ. Good works, we just saw that. Verse 13, this is for all of us. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Amen. Let's not use this season of all the fear and the stress and the anxiety in the world, let us not use that as an excuse to not love, to not be patient, to not be kind. You know? How easy is it for us to say, man, I've been stuck in this house for 3 months. It's okay if I'm a little bit snippy or a little bit more rude or a little bit more tired, a little bit more stressed. That's not Jesus. That doesn't come from Jesus, guys. I love what I said earlier. I'm going to say it again. Peace and joy and hope, they come from Jesus. And if those things are founded on Jesus, those things will never, ever, 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 ever run out in your life, so long as you stay in relationship with the source of life. Amen. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are and you will continue to be the most amazing person that happened to us. We love you, Jesus. And my prayer for everyone tonight is that we place our hope in you and we make you the source of everything. Because you are an unlimited resource of joy, peace, and love and kindness. You have good thoughts towards us, amazing plans for us, and you've given us a hope and a future, Lord. So help us to not get stuck in the past or get stuck in what we've done. But tonight, Lord, we repent for not placing our hope in you. We repent for placing our trust in things of the world and allowing those things to be shaken and us to be shaken. Lord, let us place our hope on a solid foundation that cannot be shaken. And right now, Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person who's hurting, whether physically, emotionally, or mentally. If you're listening to me right now, I want you to place your hand on the area where it's hurting. It could be your mind if you're stressed. But when I'm stressed, I feel it right here. So you can place your hand on your chest. We're going to pray for healing right now. Jesus, I pray for everybody watching, Lord. If they're hurting or they're feeling fear or whatever it is that they're feeling that's not from you, Lord, we cast it out of their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare healing, your healing presence to fill those rooms right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that kidneys are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Tumors are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Horrible, horrible, horrible migraines are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Miss Marilyn that she is healed right now in the name of Jesus, that your healing power just fill her house right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your healing, God. That you would be glorified, Lord. It would be a testimony of who you are, Lord. And your healing power over every single person, Father, right now. They are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.